Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Shutter Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 on a Victory Tuesday. Eagles 10, Packers 7, as the Eagles get out of Lambeau. What a heck of a defensive performance. Let's talk about it all, including the other side of the football as well, with our guy Jason Avant. The Lunch Hour with Jason Avant, sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to see you guys. Dudat Dental in the building. Here we go.
That's right. And it's a good day. So I'm curious, how did you view that game last night? So Hugh, a defensive guy that has sworn off defense for 2 years, he finally saw the light last night. I felt
that was
like
a defensive struggle.
It was like
that
old
was a
school
real
football.
Good defensive
but
game.
Did you, as an offensive guy, did you view it that way? Or you're like, come on, 10-7. Like, well, how did you view the game last night?
Man, I call it the paint dry game from offensive perspective. I'm looking at it, but I was excited for the defense because they were able to get stops. You saw Jalen Phillips do his thing, and the defensive line be productive, especially the defensive ends. I know Hugh can, you know, attest to that. They had 13 tackles, they had 2 sacks, they had 3 TFLs, they had a fumble recovery. That's the most productive that the defensive end position has been all season. So I was excited about that, but again, offensively, I'm like, dang, this is horrible to watch at times. Just paint dry. I was asleep at halftime.
All right, so let's unpack the offense. Now, they did enough to win. They got the big touchdown of Devontae, but it was choppy. A lot of 3 and outs. Was that last night, from your perspective, man, that Green Bay defense is good and Micah was getting a lot of pressure, or was it more, hey, the Eagles, they left some things out on the field? Like, why were they held down so much?
It's a combination of both. You knew that the pass rush for the Packers were going to be good with Micah Parsons and also Rashawn Gary, Deontay Wyatt. Those guys are good. But I thought there was a lot of meat left on the bone. And after the first 15, I don't know what it is. After the first 15, the play calling goes down drastically for most of the games this year. And we begin to get in this, just this methodic, predictable play calling, session, or I guess. So on first downs, we are more than likely to run the ball on that down rather than being aggressive on first down. But Jalen missed a lot of throws and a lot of open guys in that moment. Now, he protected the football outside of his fumble, and the team played conservative football where they didn't make a bunch of mistakes, but there was a bunch of guys running free that Jalen didn't get the ball to, and you got to ask yourself, why is that? So I thought that was the gist of the offense. Not much variety in the run game after that first 15, and they were very predictable.
You know, I was kind of curious. I was anxious to talk to you this morning because I was watching the game since our last talk, and you were, you know, just trying to watch it like you watched the game. Mm-hmm. And a caller called in this morning, and he was upset with Jalen because he felt like there was a lot of times that A.J. Brown was open and Jalen didn't see him. There was a lot of times when I was watching, it felt like, from my purview, that he didn't get the kind of separation that Smitty got. Did you see it the same way, Jason?
Well, I look at it from this perspective. I don't see it, you know, from that perspective. Like, there's times as a receiver, you know your chances of getting the ball. Mm-hmm. And in the time that AJ, you know, may have looked like he didn't come off the ball, he probably knew to his side that he had no chance or what have you. Mm-hmm. But on the plays that I saw, Jalen on a scramble left, Deontay Wyatt knocked him out of bounds. AJ Brown was running right across the field on a shallow cross that would have went for about 30, 35 yards. That's one play. The one where Carrington Valentine almost picked the ball and he gave like the little, you know, gesture that I was this close to Jahan Dotson. A.J. Brown beat his man silly, Keyshawn Nixon on the other side of the field on an in-breaking route, right? So you look at those things and you're like, dude, why isn't the ball getting out? So I would agree with the caller in that Jalen at times predetermines his reads and or is confused.
Receiver tracking.
Right? Mm. Yeah, so at times, right? Just think about this play. And this is the concept sometimes where A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith can get frustrated. Here is, think about it, the Giants game a couple weeks ago with Jahan Dotson, his spectacular catch. Mm-hmm. That was a great catch by Jahan Dotson. On the opposite side of the field, Devontae Smith made his man fall down and was open by 30 yards. Why the hell are you looking at Jahan Dotson if all things are equal? I'm going to my playmakers, and that's where A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith can be frustrated, because when the game is equal, you should go to your playmakers rather than looking at Jahan Dotson or whoever else.
Well, the playmakers made a couple plays to set them up. They only scored one touchdown last night. It was the Saquon catch and run with the spin move, and then it was Devontae's catch in the end zone. To take it, let's start with Devontae. To take us through what makes him so good, because we came in the NFL, Jason, I was skeptical, not that he could play, but that one, he'd hold up physically, and two, could he win contested catches at his size? And all he does is win contested. Like, why is he so good at those? What do you see? What does he do that makes it where it's like jump ball, and I feel confident now at this point in his career he's going to come up with it most of the time?
Well, Devontae's a worker. Like, he's a worker bee. He's been undersized. Those types of things bring about like a competitive nature to you because people doubt you all the time. And he's one of those guys that like relishes that and looks forward to it. So in between practice, when you're going to, you know, NFL practice, the offense is on the field against the scout team defense, and then the defense goes against the scout team offense. During that period of time, Devontae is putting in work, catching, working on little things. So he is building for those moments. He probably catches 300-400 catches for every one catch that he catches in the NFL. So he's prepared for those moments. And in that moment, he gets a one-on-one with Evan Williams, but that was a great job by Jalen Hurts. I'm not going to just totally say Jalen Hurts is a bad player or anything like that. On that particular play,
I thought the punt moved the safety up. Did you see that too?
Yeah, so you have two ball hawks. You have a ball hawk back there in Xavier McKinney, a guy that's picked Jalen Hurts off three times. So what he did was with it dig by A.J. Brown, he pumped it. So that froze Xavier McKinney, which was a huge part of that play. Now he's away from it. Now it's a one-on-one with Evan Williams, and now he makes a play.
I know it didn't really show up on the stat sheet, but I felt like Jalen did some good things in that game. What was your overall assessment of Jalen's play during that game last night?
Well, when it came to winning time, he made the throws that caused the Eagles to win. Mm-hmm. Getting the ball out to the flat with the one-on-one with Saquon, mm-hmm. I thought that was the biggest play of the ball game.
Just, they flipped the field, yep.
They flipped the field. It put them in a situation where they could be aggressive. And then that throw to Devontae, that was a winning play. Mm-hmm. And then he protected the ball. He relied upon his defense. I thought Jalen had like a C game when it comes to what we expect from Jalen, but he did everything that we needed him to do to win the ball game. And he didn't turn the ball over after that first one. And that's a thing that's in the NFL. Landman from the Rams have won two ball games by the punch out when guys are going to the ground.
Yeah.
And that's been a memo going around the league of when guys are going to the ground, they're the most vulnerable because they need one hand to brace because it kind of protects you from injury. So now guys are just attacking that. And now the offense
It was a great play.
Today's show sponsored by NJM Insurance. Jason Avant in with us for the 12 o'clock hour. Ross Tucker's going to join at 12:30. It's Football Guy Hour. We're happy to have Hugh Douglas back as a football guy. He appreciates defense all of a sudden, which is great to hear. All right. We need your thoughts on the end of the game sequence because I'm sitting there trying not to wake up my wife and kids screaming at my TV at like 11:30 last night. What did you think of the decision by the Eagles to go for the fourth down? So the ball's in the 35. There's 33 seconds to go. Packers have no timeouts. Obviously, it's a three-point game. The only chance the Packers have is to get in field goal range with a kicker, by the way, that is banged up and hasn't been himself all season. I thought the play there, Jason, is a punt. And look, I recognize it probably goes in the end zone. It's probably a net of 15 yards. But those 15 yards, to me, with no timeouts, matter. What did you make of that decision by the Eagles to go for that play?
It was a bad one. And you can't say anything else about it. It was a bad decision. And I said yesterday, it wasn't just that it was a bad call. It was his explanation in a press conference.
Well, it made no sense.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about?
His explanation in a press conference just baffled me.
But before we go on, Kyle, can we hear it again? For everyone just jumping in, Jason Avant with us. Let's hear Sirianni after the game explaining whatever the hell that play was.
Again, in that moment, you know, we made the decision to go for it in that one. Don't regret that at all. Wanted to be able to end the game. Play didn't, you know, it didn't work this time. Sometimes that happens and you know, but I got a lot of faith in sending those guys back out there, in those scenarios. You know, had a very similar one, you know, that we're all high-fiving about against Cleveland last year, right? Very similar that we went vertical on and AJ made and Jalen made a great play. Didn't work this time. Had a, you know, in a four minute mode, kind of similar-ish to Minnesota game. So, you know, when they work, you know, they were high five. And when they don't work, you're going to go back and say, hey, was this the best thing that we should have done in this particular case? And we'll be hypercritical of it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ourselves there.
By the way, before you respond, Jason, I looked up the two plays he was talking about. One was after the two-minute warning, a 2nd and 11 against Cleveland. And then the one against Minnesota a few weeks ago was a 3rd and 9 with 1:45 to go. I mean, those are not the same things.
No, it's not the same things at all. And punt still hasn't registered in his brain.
He was responding to why he didn't kick the field goal. No one was talking about a field goal.
Yeah. Punt didn't register in his brain at all. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, dude, that's a horrible call because you stopped the clock on third down
right.
with the pass, right? So you allowed them to keep a timeout. And like you said, you need to get that ball down a little bit further. Back in the day, the quarterbacks used to have some athleticism. They could do a little pooch punt down into the end zone. I don't know if you remember
that. Yeah, I remember that. Because they just like a real quick punt to get it to bury them down there. Yeah,
because there's no one back, right? So that was that could have been a great, you know, play call. But to me, that didn't make sense at all. And when you think about it, just how many times in the game where there was a 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 13, where we did the coward's draw and just gave it up. So why all of a sudden be aggressive in that moment?
Yeah, it doesn't like line up.
It doesn't line up.
That dog don't.
All right, do you? And I know you're not going to know the answer to this because you're not there in the huddle and on the sideline. Do you think that there's a possibility that Jalen and AJ changed that play? Like, we were trying to workshop, did they send them out there to see if they could get the Packers to jump? And then if not, take the delay a game and then give the punter a little more room? And maybe Jalen and AJ saw something and said, let's just try to do this. Like, is that plausible? Or is that clearly a coaching thing where he says, no, we're running the play?
No, I think that was the play call.
Okay.
Because remember, even though a player can go out there and change the call, they are usually panning right to the coach
right.
when a play is being called and right after the play. And it's very, very hard to control and contain your emotion if the players went off schedule and called their own play. I'm pretty sure we would have saw some visible frustration by Nick.
So we have some footage. There was. Right after the play, there is a why from Sirianni. As he walked away. So they pan the scene around, and he starts walking away, and you see a why. Now, I don't know.
Was it a why toward Kevin Petula?
I don't know. That's a good question. Who's the why towards? I'm not sure. 215-592-9494. Let's take a phone call here. Jason and Vaught with us. Football Guy Hour. Let's go to Christopher in Redding. Want to talk about that fourth down decision. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Christopher? Wow, there's Christopher hanging up
hi.
And leave. That's
he
all right. Jake, want to say hey, what's up? Jake Mama in Baltimore. What's up, Jake? Jake?
How's it going, guys?
Good afternoon, Jake. What's up, buddy?
So first and foremost, the big congratulations goes to YouTube and ESPN for making sure we didn't all have to sit through that last night. Like, brutal.
They had the right of it.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, good foresight on their call, I guess. That fourth down call, I got to tell y'all. So here's the thing, right? It was late at night, and I'm sitting here, and they run it out there the first time, and they have to take the timeout, right? I think we forget that part, because they actually took a timeout before they went out there and ran it again. So we took our second timeout. They go back out there, and I think surely there's no way they're hiking this ball, right? Like, they're going to try to draw somebody offside, or at the very least, if they do snap it, it's going to be a handoff. It's something, right? You're not gonna toss it down the field. I think my biggest issue with it was insert choice word, are we choosing that time in this game to suddenly decide we want to throw the football?
Well, that's Jason's point. Like, they had a bunch of cowards draws, right, third and 11. I mean, before halftime, they didn't even try to score points, right? Like,
they were very conservative. They went into the half.
Yeah, it doesn't line up, Jake. Like, the idea of getting super aggressive there to not give the football back but being conservative earlier, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. Now, I do want to stress that. So, I know this is going to be a little bit of a backtrack, but on the Devontae Smith touchdown, the play immediately preceding that, A.J. Brown actually picked up a really strong block that gave Saquon a few extra yards, and I think it's worth it, you know, just pointing out, because all I've heard is how he doesn't want to be here, and I mean, that man picked up a block, like, you know, and those yards did help, but I don't think they could change the play. I actually think if Jalen gets the ball further down the field, for the record, A.J. might catch it. But I think it's a cold weather game. I think you have to know at that point that, like, yeah, the defense is playing great, but punt the freaking ball.
It feels simple. It really does. Jake, man, good phone call.
Yeah, it's a low percentage throw. That's the least completed football in the National Football League. Fades and goes. That catching percentage on that throw is like the least completed pass. So, yeah, those guys do it well. Another thing, too, coaching point on that, I don't think it should have been thrown. But if A.J., knowing that the ball is short and inside, if you go back to the ball and you're more aggressive to it, you'll get a SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, kind of a flop into a P.I.
Then the game is over.
It wasn't the most aggressive approach toward the ball in that situation.
Is it somewhat of a trust issue with AJ now? Because a lot of times when you watch it, it looks like he just doesn't trust him like he used to.
I don't know. I think it's a relationship issue. That's my thing. I think that this has nothing to do with I don't think that it's football only. Mm-hmm. I think this is, these two guys used to be best friends and they're not. And I think that it's a hard situation to deal with. That's me speculating.
Recklessly.
I don't think, recklessly speculating, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my thing.
That's what we do on this show. You fit right in. Yeah,
I think that has something to do with, not necessarily football.
So how, I know you don't know this answer, but say for instance, Jason, you had an issue with your quarterback.
Yeah.
How do you go about as a receiver knowing that your livelihood is tied to getting the ball? How do you go about trying to repair that?
Well, if you're mature, you got to die to your pride, because you have to understand that he has the upper hand. Because the quarterback is going to stay around longer than the receiver. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of the beast. Yep. That's with Donovan or T.O. That's with any quarterback receiver situation. The receiver is the one that will be the one that falls on a sword, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to die to your pride, and you have to be willing to go in and humble yourself and have a conversation. Because at the end of the day, if you want multiple Super Bowls, you want to win, you want to go to the Hall of Fame, you're going to win him over more with sugar than you are with, you know,
Vinegar, salt, whatever.
Yeah, all that. Exactly. So I think that's the approach, is to go to him, to a man, have that conversation with you and him, and maybe they have multiple times, and maybe that's why AJ feels like he can't, he has no other avenue,
yeah,
but to, you know, show visible signs of frustration.
Today's show, of course it does, sponsored by NJM Insurance. While some insurance companies use gimmicks to get your attention, NJM would rather focus on putting their policyholders first. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. Visit NJM.com to learn more. Christopher in Reading back up here on WIP. What's up, Christopher?
Okay, let's try this again.
All
sorry
right,
about
let's
that.
Let's do it. No, you're good. You're
okay.
Good. It's like
now,
the Eagles going for the fourth down. Doesn't mean it's over. Yeah, just make a
yeah,
stop.
Yeah. My thing's not going to be popular, but just give me a second. I thought it all through.
Okay.
I'd have a play where we run it back for the safety, run a bunch of time off the clock. Now, Kyle didn't let me cook on it.
Before the fourth down, like when they were on the Packers 35?
Instead of the fourth down play, we use the fourth down and we use a fast. Now, I know it doesn't work. If we get tackled before we get in the end zone, they have the ball and they're going
to
score.
You said to run backwards towards our own end zone. That's insane.
And you run straight to the end zone, then you run around the end zone and kill as much time as you can.
But time out.
He's talking about like just run back and run the clock out.
Yeah, but there was 30 seconds left.
Okay, hold on. But Christopher, if you get caught, obviously you set them up for the field goal. And even if you make it for the safety, then it's now a 1-point game. You have to punt it back to them. They could win the game with a field goal after all that nonsense.
What's the difference between 1 point and 3 points, though? If you run a bunch of time off the clock, and you don't.
Well, who are we putting back there?
You don't run around the field. You don't run around the field. You run straight to the end zone.
But here's the thing that I think you're missing.
Okay.
Micah Parsons was the absolute fastest guy on the field.
He would catch anyone we put back
like
there.
You think he'd catch Barkley running straight to the end zone?
Yes.
How long do you think
especially
that's
going to take?
Wait. How long do you think that's going to take?
I like that Jason's entertaining the foolishness.
If he runs straight back to the end zone, how long do you think that's going to take?
What am I thinking? I'm thinking it's going to take 4 seconds, 5 seconds. I know.
So what's the difference between a drop back that's going to take 2 or 3 seconds, right? And then you throw the ball down the field to A.J. Brown. It's going to equal about the same thing that you're saying.
I thought about that. And like I said, you run straight to the end zone, but you don't take the safety right away. You run around the end zone.
Oh, so you're trying to gain extra four
yeah,
seconds.
Yeah, that's exactly more than four.
Like that.
I think in total you could eat up 15 seconds off that clock.
Oh, so maybe, but Christopher, if once they get caught, you've now made it a 10-9 game. You have to then punt the ball back. So if they can throw one pass to get in field goal range, they could win the game with the field goal instead of tie it. Like, isn't it all risk reward? Like, what is the reward here?
Okay, so the way I play it out in my head is everything's a risk reward. If you make the play that they did and they didn't get the reception it was no good. If you punt the ball, there's always a chance that Mike is going to break the line
and block it.
Somebody's going to run it back.
He's got
Chris, you're fired from your fantasy football league president. You're the president. You're fired.
Are you on Sirianni's analytics staff?
It's a different kind of fantasy football.
I was thinking when the phone hung up, it should have just probably stayed hung up.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, you.
I love you, though, Chris. That was a great call, though.
Christopher, we appreciate it,
probably should have stayed hung up.
See, you know whose fault this is? This is Sirianni's fault, because they went for the play, and now we're workshopping maybe just a 65-yard safety. That's a better idea, Mike.
Yeah, no, off every offense coordinator would be like, what, coach? What are you talking about?
It's unbelievable.
What you smoking?
Yeah, it's just... I do understand it's a weird part of the field, Jason. Like, it would have probably been a 15-yard net punt, but like those 15 yards with no timeouts are huge.
Huge. Going 10 yards. Like, so say you get the ball down to the 10, right? Say you pooch punt, you get it to the 10 or something somewhere in there, just like a raggedy kick down there, right? The roll was on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get 60 yards, basically, in order to get in.
27 seconds, no timeouts.
No, yeah. So that's three explosives, basically.
Yep.
And so it's just very, very unlikely at that point.
You know, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall with Vic Fangio when they threw the ball.
What are you doing?
What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
I mean, because they gave them life. Now, I know McManus is banged up, and that was in that weather, 64 yards was probably never going to happen, but they gave them life last night for no reason.
You know who else gives them life or gives the Eagles? Well, the Eagles kind of – the Packers receivers –
They stunk.
They stink every time I see him live.
There's a reason they moved Bo Melton to the other side of the football. Dude, the ball hit him in the chest.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where that's the kryptonite to their team. Yeah. When it's off target at all and Jordan Love needs a play to be made, he basically has to run down the field and hand those dudes the ball.
Yeah, they're a talented team, but there's a reason why they're below the top in the NFC.
They're a bunch of Willie Gauts, super fast with no hands.
I love that. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. You could join the Football Guy Hour. On the other side, another football guy will join us. Ross Tucker will call, and he'll hang out with Jason and Hugh and I for the next few minutes. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, we've been cooking up game day recipes all season long. Now it's time to take Hatfield Recipe Essential Sweet Italian Sausage to the Thanksgiving table, people. Elevate your stuffing game with this savory dish that steals the spotlights. Or you can whip up a breakfast casserole so good that your family's going to be full all day long until it's time to eat dinner. Find Recipe Essential Sweet Italian Sauce at your local supermarket. For locations, visit simplyhatfield.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Shutter Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hatfield, better care, better port.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe
Giulio. That was old school football last night, man.
Well, that was old school football. And this is the Football Guy Hour. We got Jason Avant with us. Hugh Douglas is back. It's been so long since you were a football guy. Doesn't it feel right to be a football guy again, Hugh?
I've always been a football guy.
Well, you denounced defense for so long. We knew we lost you. He's back. And joining us now to complete the Football Guy Hour is our guy, Ross Tucker. The Ross Report on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. As good as you can be on 4 hours sleep. I'm awesome.
Yeah, well, you know what? We are too, because it's certainly better to come off a win than a loss with that kind of night and a long night. Ross, before we get into the particulars of the game, what did you feel watching it? Because sometimes, and we referenced the Thursday night game this past week where it was 10-7. Sometimes 10-7 games stink. It's like, oh, this is awful to watch. I didn't think that last night. I was glued to my TV. I thought that was great football, even though the score much lower than we're typically used to seeing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So I was there last night. I called the game with Kevin Harlan for Westwood One on the national radio side. And the way I described it is, you know, obviously it's extremely low scoring. So how much of that was bad offense? How much of that was good defense? I'm going to say it was like two-thirds, maybe three-quarters good defense. And then a quarter or a third bad offense. I didn't think either Hurts nor Jordan Love were particularly sharp. You know, the teams kept having either penalties or mental errors on the offenses that would cost them and they couldn't sustain drives. But I also saw two young, fast, very athletic defenses, guys flying around. I mean, the Packers linebackers, Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, Micah Parsons looks like the Terminator when he's trying to chase these guys down from behind. And then, you know, for the Eagles, obviously, Quinyon Mitchell's just an incredible football player. And I got to tell you, Jalen Phillips, he might have been the best player on the field last night.
Yeah,
he was
balling.
He was setting the edge like a you-know-what. And then he was awesome as a rusher as well. You know, I was not sure what he still had in him after those two devastating injuries the last 2 years. I'm not sure, guys, they win that game last night without him. And if that's the case, the dude might have already been worth the third-round pick. I mean, I think they'd probably give up a third-round pick for a critical win. And I don't know. I mean, maybe they still do, but he made a bunch of plays that certainly helped the Eagles tremendously in that game.
Yeah, he was super impactful, and he played a ton of snaps. I mean, he was out there for like 78% of snaps.
He started the game.
Yeah, and basically never came off the field, which is wild in his first game. Ross, overall, the front seven, that was the best I've seen them play since last year. I mean, Phillip's a huge part of it, but I mean, even more Ojomo. I mean, we played the audio earlier, him calling out that final play or one of the final players for the Packers, the 4th-and-1, where he knew it was inside zone. How about the play of the overall front seven? It felt like to me, it reminded me of last year where they got contributions from everybody up front.
Well, yes, but first of all, that is one of the issues with running the ball out of the shotgun, like the Eagles do a lot, but especially if you're not going to huddle. There's a very, very, very small menu of runs. So it's 4th-and-1. The Packers are in the hurry up. They get up on the ball, but Love doesn't get under center for a potential quarterback sneak or a number of different runs. He stays in the gun. I was calling out inside zone left. There are just not that many runs, guys, out of gun with an offset running back. You know, there's other things they can do, but most teams don't. Most of the time, it's just inside zone away from the offset setback. I'm glad Ojomo's smart, but they all should have been saying that. I was saying that, and that was a major issue for the Packers. And I would also say one of the reasons why the Eagles have had more success lately is they're not they're running more runs than just inside zone out of the gun. But you're right, Ojomo was awesome. Jalen Carter batted down a couple of passes. BG made a play already. And I think Jalix Hunt made a few plays. The difference now is that it feels like they can come at you in waves. They did have Campbell on the edge a few times. I'm not sure how much we're going to see that. You know, he gave up a really explosive run because he let the receiver crack down on him. Heath cracked on him when he was the edge defender. That's on Jihad. I'm not sure Jihad is there yet as a run defender that they're going to trust him to continue to give him a lot of snaps off the edge with all these other guys they have right now.
Ross, we spent a lot of time today getting excited about the win, the defense, the old school feel. We also spent time on that last 4th-down decision by the Eagles. What did you make of the decision to go for it there, the throw by Hurts deep to AJ in the moment on when you're on the call, and then now that you've had some time and 4 hours of sleep to unpack it, what in the world was that last night?
You know what's interesting about it, Joe? I think your viewpoint of things is changed a little bit if you're not watching the telecast. Like, evidently, it sounds like Aikman was very strong, that he thought they should have punted it. You know, I'm in my own world, right? I got a headset on. I'm with Kevin Harlan. I said, this is a very interesting scenario. There's three options. You can kick the field goal, 53-yarder, go up by 6, force the Packers to have to kick, you know, score a touchdown. You can try to punt it, but you're already at the 36-yard line. Maybe you take the delay game, but the Packers can also elect to decline that. You can go for it. You know what I said in the moment? And I'm like so proud of myself. I said, or you could go with a little quick kick here. How amazing would that have been if Hurts
like
dropped back
punt,
2 yards?
Yeah,
Jason Avant said the same thing like 5 minutes ago. You guys were on the exact same page.
That is so funny. Yeah. And did a pooch punt because nobody was back. So here's what I would tell you guys. A couple things. Number one, I want you to think about Nick Sirianni's entire tenure. How many times on Monday or Tuesday has the topic of conversation been a clock management or game management error by Sirianni? Very, very little. The Eagles, first of all, almost every team has a guy that's totally devoted to game management and late game strategy, right? These situations. Mm-hmm. I know the guy for the Eagles. I know who does it. And I talked to the guys. I talked to him, and I talked to the guys for other teams. This was not a no-brainer. I don't care what Troy said. I like Troy. This was not a no-brainer that you just punt it. If you just punt it, you're conceding that they get it. And by the way, if you punt it in the end zone, it's 16 yards that you get. And how much time do you take off the clock? I was okay with the decision to go for it. I probably would lean towards just having a little quick punt and trying to pin them inside the 20. But I'm okay with their decision to go for it and try to end it. The biggest thing I was talking about after the play, and I'm very curious to hear what Jason has to say. If A.J. Brown comes back for the ball, it's pass interference. But Valentine didn't get his head around at all. I don't understand why A.J. did not come back through Valentine's body to try to make a catch. It would have been an easy pass interference. So here's how I'm looking at it, guys. You throw that ball to A.J. Number one, he can catch it. Number two, you can get pass interference. Number three, if Valentine intercepts it, that's even better. That's great. I mean, that's fine too. Like, oh, every scenario other than an incompletion is good there. So it didn't work out for them. I know it's a big talking point. I can see both sides. I don't think it's as big a deal, Jill. Like, I saw your rant earlier. You know, what was Sirianni thinking? Like, I get it. I don't think it's as big a deal as you guys do.
Sure. What's the value, though, of the time and clock? Because that's where I was at. Like, I understand your point, and if the interception would have been basically a punt, right? That the shot play creates it to where it's interception or incomplete. So that, I get the risk reward
or
there.
Or pass interference or
right,
caught.
Yeah, which I agree with you. If he gave a little different effort, maybe he gets that. But to me, like, Ross, you're right. The 20 is the worst case scenario in the punt. You also could pin them at the 10, 9, 8, like wherever it goes. To me, the 20 versus the 36, that's another play. One play, probably one pass play, and they don't have any timeouts, and the only shot they have is a long field goal. Like, is there value to even, I know 16 yards isn't much typically, but in that case, it felt like a lot to me.
Right, so here's the calculation, okay? And let's just say it is 16 yards. By the way, throwing it deep to AJ, like they did take a few more seconds off the clock. The other thing I thought was interesting, I don't know how much you guys have talked about this, looking at Sirianni's reaction on the sideline,
yep.
I'm not sure that that ball was supposed to go to AJ. I'm not sure that that's what he wanted to have happen there. I thought I saw a why, and I thought I saw frustration from Nick.
I saw the same thing, Ross. I saw
right,
it.
Right, so I don't know. You know, that also seems to me like one of those where it's like, okay, if it's wide open, throw it. If not, see what else you have, or maybe even tuck it away and run. But just the way you're laying out the scenario, Joe, the calculation is a 0% chance that you end the game, you have the ball, game over, but a 100% chance that the other team does get the ball at the 20-yard line versus whatever percentage chance that the Eagles somehow convert with a catch, pass interference, or even an interception by Valentine at the 3-yard line. Any of those things is a better scenario, but in two of those scenarios, the game is over and the Packers never get a chance. They never get the ball. And I understand the 16 yards is better, but we've seen what the Kansas City Chiefs did to the Buffalo Bills in the playoff game with 13 seconds left. So is 16 yards worth a 0% chance that you can end the game with the ball?
Yeah, it would have been for me, but it wasn't for Sirianni, and it were. I mean, look, they won the game, which is the most important thing. Ross, let's end with this. The game Sunday, which is now, you know, it's going to soon be on our minds. We're still celebrating last night, but the Lions are coming in here, so it's one big game to another. Your first thought on this matchup, and it has a little intrigue now, a different intrigue, because it sounds like Dan Campbell took over play calling on Sunday in Detroit.
He did, and they were much, much more effective than they had been, you know, the couple games prior to that. Lions have a good team. You know, the Commanders are really, really bad. I think the Commanders have lost 4 games in a row by 20 points. So the Commanders are kind of done. So it's hard to put too much stock into that. But you do know that this is the NFC Championship game rematch that the Lions felt like they never got. Mm. I do think the Eagles are the better team, but it's a short week. The Lions feel like they've been building up to this a little bit after last week. I said before last week, Joe, I thought the Eagles would probably end up splitting these two games. But if they won them both, man, that would be huge for their number one overall seed hopes. So I think it's going to be very similar. Now, I think there'll be more points than 10-7, but I do think it'll be a field goal game that can go either way. The Eagles feel like they've got a really high percentage of victories in these close games, which is a credit to Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. I always think late in close games, I mean, there's sort of a championship culture thing there too, but a lot of that is on the head coach making the right choices, although none of you guys seem to think he made any of the right ones, and the quarterback making the right decisions late in the game, like Hurts typically does.
It's going to be a fun one. Eagles-Lions Sunday Night Football. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on, and enjoy this week. We'll talk next week.
All right, now I got to listen because I got to hear what Jason says about A.J. Brown not coming back for the ball and drawing the pass interference.
I made that point earlier. We had the same mindset. He should have come back to the ball and drawn the pass interference because it was inside. So if he goes back aggressively, but that was A.J.'s body language most of the game.
All right, let me. You know what I'm going to do when you guys, when I hang up? I'm going to text Rod Lakin. Maybe it should be the Ross and Jason Avant show.
Well, listen, I mean,
we're the ones coming up with we're the ones saying the right things. Oh, we're sharing a brain. We're the ones that know what we're talking about.
But no disrespect, though, Ross, but you're not that entertaining, though, dog. you're not entertaining.
Ross, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, see you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker there with us, as he is every week on Tuesdays. All right, well, Jason.
What are you talking about?
What?
Talking about. Taking over.
you got your backup? You're worried here?
Yeah. No, I
sleep good at night.
Here we go.
All right, let's get Jason's thought on the game this Sunday, the Lions. We have famous Detroit Douglas in here who's terrified of the Lions. Is he right? Should he be? What do you think of this game Sunday?
Well, it'll be a tough game, but I don't think you should be afraid of the Lions.
Tell
because
him,
the Eagles do a thing that they always play down at times, but if the Lions come out and score 30, the Eagles are going to be in 30 points. Like, so that's just the team that we have. I think they play and matches the other team's energy at times, but I don't think we should be afraid at all. The Lions are struggling with their play calling. They just this past game went over, 25 points. They've been down when it comes to scoring points, so they're not getting their receivers the ball. Jameson Williams have come out being frustrated just like A.J. Brown has.
Yep.
So this is not the same Lions team as last year with Ben Johnson. Also, they have problems defensively. The Lions have problems holding offensives down. So I think we can throw the ball at any time on this team, and I think it's a much different challenge with Carrington Valentine out there, a guy that's going to be hard to throw against, and then the guys like Terrion Arnold and other guys that are playing.
Yeah, they're ranked 12th against the pass. They're giving up like 200-and-something yards
Detroit?
A game. Yeah, against the pass, and I think they're like, 10th? Wrote this down. The 10th against the run.
Yeah, you got all your Lions numbers.
Well, no, I'm saying.
They're good.
Because I was doing
the Packers defense is better.
Comparing and contrasting the defenses. Yeah. Packers defense is much better.
Well, it is. And I agree, Jason. It's going to be more of a high-scoring game. What concerns you the most with them? Is it the running game with Gibbs and Montgomery? Or that passing? I mean, look, I know Goff has no ability to move. Like, he's got to be on his spot. But when he's on his spot and he's on time, they throw the ball as well as anybody.
Yeah, explosive plays. So that's the thing that kind of concerns me more, because when you have Gibbs, that's an explosive play waiting to happen.
Home run hitter.
You have a tight end, that's an explosive play ready to happen. Jameson Williams is an explosive play ready to happen. Amara St. Brown. So you have a bunch of guys that can manufacture explosives, and that's what the Eagles, when they're good, just like last night in the Packers, they can't operate without explosive plays. You saw their offense without Tucker Kraft. That's the intermediate and short game, passing game person for them. And without that long ball, without that explosive play, they're kind of, not the same team. And I think Detroit is similar in that sense. They can run the ball better, but you got to limit their explosives. And I think that's what I'm worried about more than anything.
Yeah, that's kind of like when I look at this game and I look at the way that they run the ball, that is my biggest concern, because you're talking about two running backs that could score. Like, when they touch the rock, they're taking it to the house. So, you look at that. Defenses played better, though. I was surprised yesterday. And then you talk about the short week with this physical. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a physical game last night.
Yeah.
That was physical. So now it's up to coach them and those guys to get those guys ready to go.
It's three straight weeks since N'Kobe Dean has been back that we haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher. So that's saying a lot
about
right?
Him.
So
about
him and his importance to this run defense. So our defense have been, like, we were giving up 100 yards every game until he got back. And so since he's been back, I thought they've limited, the opposing team's run offense.
All right, big picture question, but I can't not think about it as you say that. So N'Kobe Dean is a free agent after this season. He's had injury issues in his career. They have Zach Bond under contract. They just drafted Jahad Campbell in the first round. What do you think about N'Kobe's future here? Because I agree with you. I think he's right now just a better run stopper, and I think he's just, you know, further along in his career than Jahad Campbell. But they invested in Jahad with a first-round pick. They invested in N'Kobe Dean with a contract. Do you think N'Kobe's on this team next year?
Well, I don't know. And I don't know the inner workings of his contract.
Right.
He is now
a free agent after the season.
Is he a complete free agent, or can he be? Can he get tender?
I think they all came in together, right?
No, I think he's a free agent because he was a third round pick. This is his fourth year in the league.
So he's not under the same thing as
yeah,
Jordan.
Yeah, so the chances that he's back is very low.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to imagine they pay a second linebacker after just drafting one in the first round.
Yeah, and Jahad Campbell is the future. You know, and he's backing N'Kobe up, and he's probably gonna get that opportunity to play because that's how, one of Howie's guys.
I will say this is that I respect the heck out of Vic Fangio for playing the best guy and not letting political games like it would happen in most teams in the NFL allow Jahad Campbell to stay there because he's the first round pick.
Yep.
To the detriment of the team. Not saying that Jahad was, you know, a bad player. It's just that he's not as seasoned as N'Kobe Dean. He will be better than N'Kobe Dean. I believe that. But not at this stage. N'Kobe Dean had to take his lumps. People were calling him a bust. He got his break and began to ascend. So I think the same can happen for Jahad Campbell. Not being called a bust, but he has the potential.
Let's grab a phone call. Zoe in Bluebell wants to chime in on the offense. What's up, Zoe?
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Good,
hey,
Zoe. What's up?
So, listen, I've listened to everybody, and Ross had some great thoughts on that last play of the game. And he almost had me believing that that wasn't a half bad idea throwing that ball
almost,
up.
Almost, almost. Almost had you believe.
And listen, almost, because I can't.
I can't sign off, no.
To me, if you made some better plays leading up to that, and it just goes back to something I've said previously, why are we still not getting Saquon the ball in space? Why are we not throwing screen passes? I mean, these are the number one things that bust, you know, a strong defensive pressure coming. I mean, if they're coming, it's you just throw it out to the side. I mean, you saw how well he did with the one play, and he didn't have any blockers. I feel like we're missing opportunities when it comes to that, and whether it's Kevin Petullo calling these plays or whether it's Jalen calling these plays or whoever it is, not mix in any of that, you're killing us because – I'm home on the couch, and I know what's coming.
They have done more screens in the last few weeks.
Let's say both the screens that they called this game, they called two.
Yep.
They called one to Saquon. He slipped. That he had a lane. That would have been a successful play. And then you had the Devontae one who just barely got.
One guy.
Those two plays would have been successful. So, yes, I agree with you that's one of those things that they can do more of.
Yeah, but the thing is, why are they not? And even let's go back to the end of the game before you made that fourth down play. If you're going to take a chance, why not take that chance second down or third down? If you're going to take it anyway, why not do it in a position where it's not predicted? Because my thought is if the other team knows what's coming, it does you no good running that play because they have a better chance of stopping it. If you're going to try to surprise them later in fourth down, why not do that same surprise? And granted, I know we want to keep the clock running, but if we keep a high percentage, like you say, a screen play or whatever, that's my biggest 2 cents in the game. And I feel like it would have taken a lot of stress out of a lot of fans if they just implement a little bit more of that, just a little bit.
Zoe, you're on the track. You're on the right track. And one of the best people when it comes to 4-minute offense just over his career has been Sean Payton. And Sean Payton does a good job of calling a controlled passing game. That's what we call it in those situations where you want to throw the ball, but you need the clock to continue to run. You figure out a way to run a tight end behind the line of scrimmage into the flat or a guy falling down backside or something that's really, really quick, that's a high percentage catch. Those are the plays that you want to go to. And yes, we missed those opportunities, but that's a great thought, and I would agree with that.
Let's end with this, Jason. How big of a deal is the short rest versus normal rest? Like this week, right? The Eagles played Monday night, Lions played Sunday, so they get one extra day for their bodies. Next week, I think we get the opposite because we're going to play Sunday, Dallas is going to play next Monday, and then it'll flip next week where the Eagles will be on longer rest. Do we make too big of a deal of that, or do you think it is – after a physical game, it is a lot to play on one day shorter rest than Detroit?
No, I think it's – every team has to deal with it.
Right.
And I think it's a mental thing. And plus, when you have a short week, you practice less. And I think that's always a benefit to the players. I think the biggest thing that stopped players on Sunday is how much the coaches have been practicing, right? Okay. So, especially toward this time of the year. Yeah. So when you have one less day of running around, I think that kind of helps you as a team. Coach Reed, when we would have those games where it was a Monday or Thursday, we didn't practice. We always went on a run toward the end of the year because we were fresher because we didn't practice.
He took care of you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We shall see. It's going to be a great one on Sunday. Jason, we appreciate it. We're excited to really get revved up here with your weekly spots with us. Have a good week, and we'll see you here next week.
Thank you, gents.
Love it. There he is. The Lunch Hour with Jason Avant was brought to you by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Doodad Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, your call's coming up in the final hour of the show today. Plus, a couple things from the broadcast we found interesting. Aikman, very critical of Nick Sirianni's decision, and high praise from Jalen Hurts on A.J. Brown, as told by Joe Buck. That's next. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jonah Cameron, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.